My guest at this time is Christopher C. Horner. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington. He is also the author of The Liberal War on Transparency and Power Grab, How Obama's Green Policies Will Steal Your Freedom and Bankrupt America. A few weeks ago, Secretary of State John Kerry suggested that the cooling agents in air conditioners and refrigerators were as big of a threat to human life as terrorist groups like ISIS. But what's going on behind the scenes, and what do Kerry and his allies actually hope to accomplish? And Chris, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, let's refresh everyone's memory here. This got a lot of attention back when Kerry made the comments, but these are comments he made last month in Vienna. Let's just listen.
Yesterday, I met in Washington with 45 nations, defense ministers and foreign ministers, as we were working together on the challenge of Daesh, ISIL, and terrorism. It's hard for some people to grasp it, but what you are doing here right now is of equal importance because it has the ability to literally save life on the planet itself.
And in case anyone thought he didn't make the comparison, he said it again.
And measured against the array of global threats that we face today, and there are many, terrorism, extremism, epidemics, poverty, nuclear proliferation, all challenges that respect no borders. Climate change belongs on that very same list.
So many things to discuss here, Chris. First of all, what he's really going after here in these cooling agents are what's known as hydrofluorocarbons. What are they, and why does the administration hate them so much?
They were previously targeted for contribution to depletion of stratospheric ozone, keeping ultraviolet radiation from the Earth. And now, in a completely, this is completely separate from that, they are now, and their replacements really, have been targeted for being global warming gases. The greenhouse effect is real, and thank goodness for it, or we wouldn't be living here. And most greenhouse gases are water vapor by, 97-98% by volume and impact. I mean, it's largely water vapor, but there are others. And you know, carbon dioxide or CO2, which we grew up knowing was plant food, has now been demonized. I don't know if you recall the great petition that was circulated with success on the Washington Mall, getting people to sign a ban, seeking a ban on dihydrogen monoxide because it was an industrial effluent associated with corrosion and even death. Of course, that's H2O or water. You can make anything sound scary if you want. Well, these man-made greenhouse gases, there are, again, greenhouse gases are real, though that doesn't mean catastrophic global warming or the alarmism underlying or what's underlying Secretary Kerry's, what would otherwise be deemed hysteria in any other context. And so now they're targeted for their global warming potential because everything is targeted because of global warming. Global warming is the reason for everything. It's the cause for everything. It is the addressing. It is the cure for everything and so on. And so that's why he decided to invoke the greatest threat facing mankind, as they call it, except as we can prove very easily, it's the greatest threat except for all the others. You can have this conversation with anybody. They'll say, well, that's the greatest threat facing mankind. Okay, so we should build lots of nuclear power then. Oh, no. Okay, so global warming is the greatest threat facing mankind except for nuclear power. Your atoms, they frighten me. How about dams? No, those are mean to fish. Can't do that. Okay, how about frack for more gas instead of coal? No, we can't do that. Okay, so global warming, the greatest threat facing mankind, is a lesser threat than nuclear power, hydropower, hydrofracking, and you can go down the list. And it's even now. Even though air conditioning supposedly causes this, according to Secretary Kerry, the State Department will, as someone on the Weekly Standard pointed out, they will rush around and spend a fortune to install temporary air conditioning when the temperature's in the 80s for a town hall if the president – so the president suffering through 80-degree temperatures is a greater threat than the greatest threat facing mankind and so on. You know, no inconvenience for them. I just have to say about this, I know we've become very conditioned to hearing that everything is the result of global warming and everything causes global warming. And global warming means revelations. It is, catastrophic, right over the hill, no time to look, can't describe the horrors, sign here, details to follow. But this truly was, while consistent with Secretary Kerry particularly, but also the global warming alarmist movement, an hysterical moment. Not just one belied by the fact that his party then had a national convention at which, I assure you, they were not about to go without air conditioning. So the DNC being uncomfortable is a greater threat than the greatest threat facing mankind. But this is really the kind, this is the type of moment, Greg, that you should stop and say, are we going a little too far? Have we normalized truly nutty behavior by people in positions of authority? And I think Secretary Kerry is often an object lesson in that context, and he was here again. What astounds me is this got so little attention.
So what do they want? If they were to get what they want, would they not want air conditioning at all? Do they think there are safer ways to accomplish the same goal? What's their end game here?
Well, the idea, for example, is to make all sorts of things they don't like, as they would call it, safe, legal, and rare. And then they would slowly move, as they do, to just safe and legal, and even rarer. For example, we know that societies that we admire for this agenda have priced air conditioning out of the reach of the most vulnerable. Okay, we take for granted here we have indoor climate control. They want to make energy much more expensive so you use less of it because we have so much of it. So now we've moved on to this. It causes the seas to boil and the skies turn blood red, dogs and cats living together, et cetera, and therefore you must drastically change your lifestyle. Well, what happens in those countries? When there's a heat wave in Paris back a little over a decade ago, so 20,000 of the most vulnerable died. They're living in a society that they can afford the $150 unit. They just can't afford to run it. And these are the most vulnerable. Again, they're seniors and the poor. And that's who dies when weather happens, and it does. And we're not, you know, none of these indicators they promised would, you know, all the hurricanes and all the heat waves and so on. They're not outside variability. The hurricanes, as you know, were in a drought of those. But this agenda, what they want is it's a scarcity agenda. It is they're not against everything. They're enthusiastically in favor of scarcity, and that is imposed by restricting, just making doing certain things, automobility. Indoor climate control to make things more comfortable, conveniences, mod cons, to make them much more expensive to purchase and to use. It isn't specific to HFCs by any means, and it's not specific to air conditioning, but air conditioning is a good reminder of what happens, because there's something called energy poverty or fuel poverty in Europe, and you and I have discussed this. I think from the Paris climate talks, we discussed just in England and Wales, they estimated 40,000 additional excess winter deaths from energy poverty. And a half to more of those, they estimated, were from seniors being unable to afford to heat their homes. So they die of hypothermia because they just can't do it anymore. They're forced to choose between heating and eating. Well, that happens when it's hot, too. Though the cold kills many, many more than heat. But this happens when you make it unavailable and when you do what the agenda calls for, to necessarily skyrocket energy costs. The key word being necessarily, not skyrocket. The president said this is the point. That was his agenda, the global warming agenda. You are going to hurt the seniors, the most vulnerable, first and worst. It is not only predictable, it is predicted, it is foreseeable, it is foreseen, it happens. Everywhere they tell us to look, well, you know, France is a miracle, let's look at France. Okay, well, they use a lot of nuclear power, and by the way, they still price their electricity such that seniors die by the tens of thousands in a heat wave. Well, we'll look at England. Okay, let's look at England. In the winters now, energy poverty deaths have skyrocketed from something like 12,000 to 17 to 31 to 40,000 excess a year. Year over year, coincidental with imposing these energy scarcity policies. So air conditioning is just one thing. John Kerry is always good to sort of give you a punchline to talk about the extreme nature of this agenda and to make it look absurd. Air conditioning is as dangerous as ISIS. No, it is not. But these policies certainly are dangerous. These policies can now be pointed, thanks to energy poverty, you can now point to more deaths from these policies than terrorism. That's not to say that one is worse than the other, but please keep in mind the tremendous costs of an agenda that, by the way, nobody claims would actually impact the climate. Nobody actually claims would impact the climate.
Chris, exit question. You mentioned how statements like this ought to give people reason for pause and wonder about the entire push for this agenda. For the most part, you had a lot of people, particularly those who already disagree with John Kerry, laughing about this, mocking him to some extent. But in the end, everybody just goes back to what they're doing, and there doesn't seem to be a big pushback or even questioning what Kerry was doing with this whole panel in Vienna in the first place. So what do you make of the fact that while people, you know, think he's probably wrong about this, they don't really have a problem with what he's doing or care to keep paying attention past the initial day or two of the headline?
Yeah, I think we've got, A, very low expectations of institutions anymore. B, we have, with all due respect, a Secretary of State who has beclowned himself in this specific context for years. He was the principal author of this agenda in the Senate. His successor from Massachusetts does the same thing, Ed Markey. It's almost like a car alarm. We don't listen to it anymore, but it's not like it's without cost to them. Environment drops. You know, the old Chinese, I think Chinese saying, when there's food on the table, there are many problems. When there's no food on the table, there's only one problem. And in times like these, the modern environmentalism of chasing, you know, the parts per billion, the parts per trillion, and your car is a weather machine, really falls by the wayside toward first order priorities. And environmentalism ranks last in the concerns among voters, and global warming last among environmental issues. So they have suffered a cost from this inanity over the years. It has dropped continually. However, by the same token, we are facing a cost because they're not taking no for an answer. Their failure to get the impose this agenda fully through the proper democratic process has led them to not just backdoor fiat imposition of a horrible agenda, but, as you know, attorneys general abusing law enforcement powers to silence political opposition to this agenda. So you're right. It is a great shame that we don't take these moments to say, you know what? We're living in dangerous times in a serious world, and you have a position of responsibility and authority. Cut it out. Get serious. Stop this. Focus on what's important.
Chris, that'll have to be the last word for now. As always, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Christopher C. Horner is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington. He's also the author of The Liberal War on Transparency and Power Grab, How Obama's Green Policies Will Steal Your Freedom and Bankrupt America. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.